this king,
Kila,
certainly, Goptum Uddataha, prepared
to give protection,
Patham,
how,
Nu,
then,
Maam,
me,
Dharma Paraha,
one
who is strictly following religious principles, Jighanshati,
desires
to kill.
Translation
by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning of creation, you created all these moving and non-moving living entities by your inconceivable energy. Through this very same energy, you are prepared to protect the living entities. Indeed, you are the supreme protector of religious principles. Why are you so anxious to kill me, even though I am in the form of a cow? Please repeat after me. In the beginning of creation, you created all these moving and non-moving living entities.
You created all these moving and non-moving living entities
by your inconceivable energy.
By your inconceivable energy.
Through the same energy,
you are now prepared to protect the living entities.
You are the supreme protector
of religious principles.
Why are you so anxious to kill me?
Even though I am in the form of a cow.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The planet Earth argues that there is no doubt that one who creates can also annihilate by his sweet will. The planet Earth questions why she should be killed when the Lord is prepared to give protection to everyone. After all, it is the Earth that is the resting place for all living beings, all living entities. And in this earth that produces grain for them. Jai tad adav ashvijat characharam sa mayaya atma shaya abhuti karkaya sayaiva shoyam kila guptum uddataha Kathang Numang Dharma Paro Jighan Shati. In the beginning of creation, you created all these moving and non-moving living entities by your inconceivable energy. Through this same energy, you are now prepared to protect the living entities. Indeed, you are the supreme protector of religious principles. Why are you so anxious to kill me, even though I am in the form of a cow? So, when Prithu Maharaj saw that the earth planet was not properly providing the food grains for the living entities, because he found the whole earth was covered with trees, and so Prithu Maharaj became very angry, and he was about to chastise the earth planet, personally. So in this way we get to see that this earth is not an inert lump of matter. Just as we have this lump of matter, our body, but inside the body there is a personality. Similarly, the body of earth also has a personality. The earth planet is not an inert globe. Inside that, there is a personality. So in this way we can see that everywhere, like, there are living entities, there are personalities. Unfortunately, gross materialistic people think that there is life only in human beings. Christians don't think that the animals have souls. And the Muslims think that women don't have souls. So we can see that they don't have any understanding of what soul actually is. What is the source of life? What is the source of consciousness? I remember once I was having a discussion with a very important person. He was a high court judge, retired high court judge in South Africa. He's an Englishman. I'm from a Christian background. He was the grandfather of one of our devotees there. And I had difficulty to make him understand that the animals are souls. Although he was such a apparently learned person, he's a high court judge, so must have been a very learned person. But he could not accept that animals are souls. And I had to speak to him for about half an hour, 45 to make him understand that not only the animals, even the insects, worms, and trees and plants have souls. Finally he accepted. The point is that these people don't have any information. Nobody gave them the right information. What is a soul? It's actually so easy to understand. Living and non-living. Initially, initially that is the consideration. That nobody can deny that an animal is a living entity. Is your dog living? Is the cow living? Is the mosquito living? So what causes these creatures to be alive? Why are they alive? What causes them to be alive? We can't say that a mosquito is not living. We can kill a mosquito. That way actually can fruit. Kill the mosquito. Kill the cow. Kill the tree. So kill means you are depriving them of their life. So they are living, they are alive. Alive means, living means conscious. Life is synonymous to consciousness. Where there is consciousness, there is life. Now the consideration is, what causes something to be alive? What causes something to be alive? What causes something to die? When someone is dead, what do we say? Don't we say that wo chale gaye, paralok chale gaye? So, kon gaya? Sawal mirror. Who is God? Body is there, so it's the soul that is God. When the soul is in the body is alive. When the soul leaves the body becomes dead. Now, does an animal die? What happens when an animal dies? Can't we apply the same principle? The soul is left. So the presence of the soul makes the animal to be alive. And when the soul leaves the body, that animal is dead. A mosquito is alive. When will the mosquito die? When the soul lives. A tree is alive. When will the tree die? When the soul will leave the body. The soul leaves the body and the body will die. Now we can go into a higher concept. We have considered different types of living entities who are obviously conscious, obviously alive. But there are entities like the earth here. Is earth a living entity? Here we are saying yes, earth is a living entity. That means earth is a person. And she is the living factor, and the body, her body is earth. Similarly, sun planet has a living entity, as the soul of that planet. Sun planet, moon planet, and so on. And then ultimately the universe is a living entity. The entire universe is a living entity. And who is the personality? God. We know the mountains are living entities, rivers are living entities. Himalaya is a person, is a living entity. Himalaya has a daughter. What's her name? Parvati. She got married to Lord Shiva. Not only has a daughter, the daughter is also reaching the marriageable age. Then the father thinks of getting the daughter married to an appropriate husband. Vinda. Here we have Vrinda Mountain in Madhya Pradesh. Vrinda Mountain is a personality. And these personalities even become envious. Vrinda became envious of Lord Shiva. I'm sorry, Himalaya. They are the same family, mountain family. And Vrinda felt, oh, Himalaya's daughter got married to Lord Shiva. So I'll get a daughter whose husband will be even greater than Lord Shiva. They got into competition. And you know, as a result of that, who Vrinda got as his daughter? He got not only one daughter, he got two daughters. And those daughters are Radharani and Chandrani. Originally Radha and Chandra are the daughters of Vrinda Mountain. And in a way, Krishna is the Damada of this place.
And this point has been made by Srila Rupa Goswami in Lalita Mantra. So this is the real understanding. They are living in Kiev. Everything. The art is a personality. Mother aunt. And she often assumes the form of a cow. Mother aunt assumes the form of a cow. And she goes to Lord Brahma to ask him, look what they are doing to me. This living entity, these demons, they are torturing me so much. And then Brahma says, look, I can't do anything with these demons. So then what Brahma did? Brahma said, let's all go to Krishna. Vishnu. And Brahma, along with the demigods, took Mother Earth or went with Mother Earth to the bank of the milk ocean. And the Lord is lying there as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Vishnu who lies on the milk ocean. That is the beginning of the 10th canto, you remember? Then they prayed to Krishna, and as a result of their prayer, he agreed to come. Okay, come, I'll come. And release the earth of this world. And that's where Krishna came to annihilate the demon. But here, Krishna as Vipra Maharaj became angry with Maharaj. Vipra Maharaj is an incarnation of Vishnu. Shakta Vishnu. How many kinds of avatars are there? Six kinds of avatars. Do you all remember what are those six types of avatars? Okay, let me see how many of you remember that. Raise your hand. Okay, you tell me one avatar. Who are the Purusha avatars? Okay.
Gunavatars.
Who are the Gunavatars?
Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma.
Vishnu, Shiva and Brahma. Okay.
Lilavatars.
Who are the Lilavatars?
Nrisimhadev Ram,
etc. Lilavatars. Okay. Then? Huh? Shaktavesh avatars. Who are the Shaktavesh avatars? Yuga avatars. Who are the Yuga avatars?
Ram, Krishna,
Who are the Yuga avatars?
Ram, Krishna, Chaitanya.
Ram, Krishna, Chaitanya. Okay, four Yuga avatars.
Yes, yes.
But to the king, manas, Yuga kitne hai. Chota kapha. Okay. Ramchandra Yuga avatar nahi hai. Ramchandra Leela. युगावतार है हम सब यज्ञ कृष्ण
handshake. Kshetra, Rakta, Krishna, Pita. Ye char unka kanti hai. Hamsavatar, Kshetra, Yajnavatar, Rakta, Krishnavatar, aur Chaitanya. To paanch hua, baki kya rahega? Manantar avatar. Very good. Manantar avatar. 14? 14 manus. Manantar avatar. Huh? Who are the Manantar avatars?
I think this Manu, Vaman is. Vaman avatar. In this Manu, Vaman avatar is Manantar.
Okay. Who are the Manvantar avatar? Manu. In a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. The Manus come with the whole set of demigods. When the Manu changes, demigods change. Indra, Chandra, Varun. Not only the demigods, the stages change. Etc. Their shifts change. Like Saptarshi, they change with Manus, with Manus. Same is, avatars also change. In every Manantar, Krishna appears as Manantar. Like, as he pointed out, in this Manantar is Bhavandi. In this Manantar, Indra is Purandar. In next Manantar, who will become Indra?
Bali
Maharaj. So in this way, he will change. Suryadev is Vivashwana. In next Manantar, somebody else will become Suryadev. In this way, the Manantar avatar also will change. So these are the six types of incarnations or avatars. There are six categories, but there are innumerable incarnations. So when Prithu Maharaj, who is incarnate Shaktavish avatar to establish law and order, that is what they do. Do you all remember how Prithu Maharaj came? How did Prithu Maharaj appear? Who is the father of Prithu Maharaj? King Vena. And who is the mother of Prithu Maharaj? Mrs. Vena. Prithu Maharaj doesn't have any mother. How did he appear? Vena, his father, was a very impious. King Vena was a very, very demoniac, impious person. And he was torturing other living entities. He was torturing everyone. Because demons or sinful people derive pleasure by giving pain to others. So, the Brahmanas, the sentient personalities, they came to him to give him some good advice. Look, the way you are acting is not appropriate. You shouldn't behave like this. So, they gave him some good advice, but Vena was so arrogant, he not only refused to accept their advice,
that she started to abuse him, his son. So then the Brahmanas felt that this person must be punished. So what did they do? They chanted mantra and killed him. They simply create the sound, and with the sound they now were dead. Now the king is dead and all the robes and bandages, they got a great time, no one to punish them. So they started to act in a very, very inappropriate way. There was no one to control them, so they saw that there is a need for a king, otherwise the law and order will not be established. Law and order will not be maintained. So therefore they churned which part of Dena's body? Left? Huh?
Heart left and
then
right.
Left and what?
Left arm.
Arm. They churn the arm of them. And as a result of that, Prithu Maharaj. And then Prithu Maharaj, when he started to rule over the planet, he saw that Earth planet has become totally unproductive, because the Earth's business is to provide grains. But the Earth also became independent. So he decided to chastise. So this is a discussion that is going on between Earth planet is appealing to them that I am the resting place of all living entities. Now if you destroy me, then where will everybody go? But this way, Prithu Maharaj made the Earth to produce grains for the living entities, foodstuffs for the living entities. And so, in this way, we get such important instructions from Srimad Bhagavatam. Every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam gives us so many wonderful instructions. Like, as we say, from this particular verse, what did we learn? One thing we learned is Earth is a person. We also learned that Earth provides the foodstuffs for the living entities. Where does the foodstuff come from? From Mother Earth. In the form of grains, fruits, nuts, milk. So these are the gifts of Mother Earth. And we also get to know that sometimes an appropriate king can even chastise Mother Earth, especially when he is as powerful as Prithu Maharaj, who is empowered by the Supreme Personality. So this personality is seen as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Like here we are seeing Mother Earth is telling that you are the creator of all the moving and non-moving living entities. You created all the living and non-moving living entities. And you are maintaining them also.
He is named the Supreme Personality of Godhead, creates and He maintains. And because He is the creator, in the purport Prabhupada is saying that He can also annihilate, He can kill, because He is creator. It's right, He has the right. But Mother Earth is appealing, you are the protector, you are the creator, you are the protector, so I know, why are you killing me? Why do you want to kill me? So, in this way, we can see that one who is the protector, his business is to maintain. One who is the proprietor, his business is to maintain. Vishnu Maharaj is the king, therefore his business is to protect, is to maintain. So this is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the creator, is maintaining everything. Those who are situated in knowledge, they know that. Like Mother Earth knew who Vishnu Maharaj was, that he was an incarnation of the Lord. And therefore he is reminding him about his business, his responsibility, his duty. So, therefore Bhagavatam should be studied so carefully, because by reading Srimad Bhagavatam we get the right knowledge. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions?
King Prabhu, as a very strong leader, he dealing very strongly with Mother Earth. Yes. So, but sometimes, especially in the modern democratic setup, there is no strong ruler, because the people are the actual ruler. So, is it that, you know, unless there is a strong ruler, it is not possible to actually to become Krishna conscious for people? Or is it that this setup also can help, or can that also can actually make everyone Krishna conscious?
A very loaded question. That will be another class on that. Prithu Maharaj was a very powerful leader, therefore he could establish law and order. In this democratic culture, in this democratic society, when the leaders are so weak, is it possible for them to establish Krishna consciousness? The general answer is not likely. Not likely. Maybe possible. Not likely. Because the mass is ignorant. Generally the mass is ignorant. Ignorant means, especially in this age, no knowledge of God, no knowledge of proper culture. Actually, even in Vedic time, most of the people were Sudras. Sudras means they did not have the proper knowledge. So if these Sudras were allowed to select their leader, who would they elect? Can they wisely elect? No. That is the problem. The mass is ignorant, and ignorant mass cannot wisely elect their leader. But if the mass can be educated, then it may be a different situation. But unfortunately nowadays, most of the people are ignorant. Ignorant means they are like children. Like if there is, if the children are allowed to vote, let's consider this. All the children are invited. Come, you'll cast your vote. And those and those who are standing for election, they are allowed to make their presentation to motivate them to vote. So one guy comes and tells the children, I will give you a chocolate. Then another guy comes and says, I'll give you a toy. Another guy comes, oh, chocolate, I'll give you a video game. Now tell me who the children are going to vote for. Those who like chocolate, they go for the chocolate paper and so forth. Right? Now those who want their vote in this way, do you think that they will take care of the children? They're giving them the chocolate or toy or video games just to get the vote. Once they get the vote, do you think they will give them the video games? Or whatever. So that's why democracy doesn't work. Because mass is ignorance. That's what is happening. Like, now everybody knows in America, recently I was in America, and I got to know how Obama came to power again. You see, Obama is telling, his whole campaign is about promoting the poor people, help the poor. Now tell me, the number is, who has greater number, rich people or poor people? And he is giving them, there is a thing called Obama phone. Obama, those who don't have mobile phone, Obama is giving them mobile phone, okay. It's a thing called Obama phone. If you don't have a mobile phone, you can apply and you'll get an Obama phone. And these are such powerful campaigns. Each time you see the phone, oh, Obama. And his whole purpose is help the poor. Most of the blacks are poor. Most of the immigrants are poor. So they're giving them the votes. Obama spent more money than all the American presidents in the past put together. Where did the money go? So, you can see, this is chocolate, toys, Obama phone. So this is what is happening, right? There at least, they are doing something for the poor people. In India, they don't do anything for them. Still they get their vote. ये मेरा समाज का है समाजवादी पार्टी तो मेरा समाज का है चलो उसको वोट देते हैं वॉट एवर ही डज और शी डज इज नॉट हियर व्हाट इज द एनीवे सो दैट इज व्हाट इज हैपनिंग इफ यू टेक द काउंट व्हाट इज हुज नंबर इज मोर ग्रेटर and the number of poverty-stricken, illiterate, underprivileged people are more. So if you can give them some lollipop or hand some carrot in some way, that is what is happening in democracy. Now what will be the appropriate democracy when everyone is educated? Right? It happened at one time when the early stage people were voting, they had their patriotic feelings, like in America we see the people, you know, great personalities were elected as leaders. And on those days the leaders were also serious, sincere people. But then again we can see, like everybody knows, in Indian political scene, when India got freedom, Nehru became the president, the prime minister. But many people thought that Vallabhbhai Patel would be a better person. But Nehru was Gandhi's guest. So he made him the prime minister. Anyway, Kaliji, what can be done? We can question, what would have happened if Patel became the prime minister? No point thinking that he didn't become. Right? What he would have done, maybe he would have been even worse than Nehru, who knows? The one who didn't become a prime minister is a better prime minister. So that is the state of affairs in democracy. And why democracy? Because the rulers are not guided properly. The rulers also are not educated because they are not guided by the Brahmanas. When a ruler, a warrior, a Kshatriya king becomes independent, then he naturally tends to become tyrannical, like Jaina. And the result is democracy. Like that, it's very clear in the Western history, the history of Europe. French Revolution took place because the people were suffering and the kings were living in extreme opulence. I don't know how far it is true, but the saying goes that the queen of the 14th Louis, Queen Marie Antoinette, when she saw that in front of the palace there was a big commotion, so many people. So she asked, why they're shouting? What's the problem? Why they're shouting like that? Then somebody said that they're shouting, they're demonstrating because they don't have bread to eat. And she said, then why don't they eat cake? So that was the situation. They were not at all in contact with the real life, and that as a result of that there was a revolution and all the royal family was guillotined. And then it became vox populi, the voice of the people, democracy, for the people, by the people, of the people.
My question is, sometimes there are two things that the leader has to consider. One is to do the right thing, and the other is to satisfy the people. So in the present kind of setup, do we have to have a balance between the two, to satisfy the people and also to do the right thing? And where to draw the line?
He has satisfied the people by doing the right. Right? Not satisfied by just giving them lollipops. But by giving them education, proper education. Then only they'll be satisfied. When you go to a school, does the teacher want to satisfy the students? Or he wants to educate? There is a big question, let's see, from Ankit Vora from USA. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent a few of his disciples to London and Germany to preach Krishna consciousness. They are very, very exalted in terms of being born and raised in many generations of exalted Brahmana family. They are sons and sannyasi, etc. They are sent with heavy funding from Gaudiya Math and they came back unsuccessful. On the other hand, when Srila Prabhupada sent his disciples all over the world without almost any funds, and those disciples before joining the movement were like drug addicts, hippies, lechers, drunkards, etc. They are very successful. And practically speaking, by 1970 we are not even having enough literature to study. Movement was growing. When our spiritual life is started, we don't have any taste for chanting, rendering devotional service, pleasing Krishna, reading transcendental literatures, etc. Please enlighten us on this topic. You have already enlightened us. So, Ankit, so, what's your question? That you mentioned, okay, there are 3 points you made. Bhakti Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur sent his very qualified and learned, exalted sannyasi disciples to the West to preach. But they were not successful. Whereas Prabhupada sent his newly initiated disciples to different parts of the world and they effectively preached Krishna consciousness. At that time there was no funding, there was no literatures, very little literatures, but they were so enthusiastic with Krishna. And the third point I think that you are making is that now we have so many books, we have so many facilities, we have so much funding, but hardly any preaching. Is that your point? If that is your point, then tell me what you should do. Become fired up. Become enthusiastic. Become like the real pioneers of Krishna consciousness. And as I told you many times, the first thing told me, one of the first instructions I got from Srila Prabhupada is offer this life to Krishna. That was the mood those days. Offer this life to Krishna. So I will tell you, offer your life to Krishna. That is going to be my suggestion in order to enlighten you. Offer this life to Krishna to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Especially the young ones. Young ones make things happen. When you are young, yes, go out and preach. Go out and promote Krishna consciousness. Go out and fill up the temples. And then only the movement will spread. Okay? If you want, you can send your reply now. Thank you, Ankit. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. is external desire to serve Krishna is enough for rapid advancement.
Desire is not enough. Action is enough. Great condition. There is a Sanskrit shloka. Uddamena hi siddhanti kaljani na manorasai. He knows that. And then, what's the next line? Very good. Nani suttasya singhasya pravishanti. With enthusiastic endeavor only, things are achieved. An animal doesn't enter into the mouth of a sleeping lion. Nadi suttasya singhasya, suttasya means sleeping, singhasya, lions, mukhenya, in the mouth, and animal represents. So, lion, even though it's so powerful, it has to go and get his prey. Similarly, we have to uddam with enthusiastic endeavor, not manaratha. Not just by desire. Desire we can have so many. Everybody wants to become a king or the Prime Minister of India. I remember once there was an essay given in the class. And I remember everyone was so intense, become the Prime Minister, become this, so everybody desires to become something very big. But there is a desire. Desire alone is. Yes?
Guruji, you told that Vidya became envious of Himalaya and he got two daughters, Radharani and Chandravani. My question is that how Brishvanu got Srimati Radharani?
Okay, very good. That also has been explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in Lalita Mata. So he got his two daughters, then Putana came and stole his two daughters. And she was flying to the sand. So seeing that the brahmanas in his court, Binda's court, started to chant the Rakshashi Nidhan mantra. And as a result of that mantra, Putana became afraid and dropped those two babies. And they fell onto lotus. And this lotus went floating, and then one, King Vishvanu got, and the other King Chandravani. So Vrishabhanu got Radharani, Chandravani got Chandravani. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande.